Yes.
Yes.
So we definitely needed to keep Bud in our prayers, amen? Yeah, from what I understand, what they said is that half his heart basically died. It quit working, if I understood that right. Okay? Half his heart died. Okay, and so they're giving him a pronouncement of about 6 months or less. Okay? So, that's kind of stinking news, isn't it? The half his heart died. Have you guys ever heard of that before? I have. There's always a pronouncement of death whenever doctors give those things. You know what I mean? It seems like in our world there's always bad news. Right? Yeah. But I want to tell you a story. You guys got a minute? I want to tell you a story. Years ago, this would have been maybe somewhere between 8 and 9 years ago. There was a man that attended our church. And him and his wife did not like me one bit. They were actually really nice people, but they did not like me one bit. And so that's cool. Not everybody's going to like you. You guys know that? Yeah. We're going to talk about our heroes in the Bible in a minute, about them not being liked in just a second, okay? Just because God works through your life and ministry doesn't mean everybody's going to like you. All right? So get used to that. The more you follow Jesus, the more you seek after Jesus. Some people just are not going to like you. All right? And there was this old man that attended our church, and him and his wife just flat out didn't like me. They were charter members of our church. They served on the board and everything, and they had a warped sense of idea of what the board was for. They believed that the pastor was like the president of the United States, and the board was like the Congress. And so the board's job was to be in opposition to the pastor. And so throughout the history of the church, this guy, and I want to give you a background of him, you know, because I want to show you that in spite of being misinformed, God can do stuff for you anyway, okay? So he said, you know, and so he goes, he says that the board is supposed to be in opposition to the pastor. And that was the history of our church. And that's what kind of created the situation that we had when I got here, when the church was always in conflict. The church had been a conflict church for 40 plus years. And so when he told me that, he goes, because as God started changing out the church and the board changed, he goes, I do not like this one bit. Your board does not oppose you. I'm like, we discuss everything out and we operate on consensus. He goes, they're there to oppose you and they're not opposing you. And I'm like, I don't need the board to oppose me. I got somebody bigger than them that's opposing me. And he goes, who's that? I'm like, Satan. I was like, I don't need a board to oppose me. Satan does a pretty doggone good job on his own, you know? And so, needless to say, he really didn't care much for us, okay? And so he would come into the office periodically and ask me to resign. He would go around when visitors would come. He would tell them, you don't want to be part of this church because of the pastor that we have, you know? And so he would go, and so he would always be doing this thing. But I'm telling you, he's a really good guy, you know? But the thing is good people sometimes behave badly, okay? And the cool thing about Jesus is, even in the midst of our behavior, he has mercy on us, you know? And sometimes he may send the answer to your problem that you may not like. You know what I mean? So don't be too closed door with people that you may not necessarily like, because sometimes they may be the answer to the very problem that you have, okay? Or they may carry the answer, or they may have the resources to bless you in some way, okay? Because God delights in doing that to you, all right? Did you know that? Just because you don't like somebody doesn't mean that God doesn't love them, God doesn't use them, and you understand what I mean? And so this guy, he tells the church that he's in deep trouble, and they want to do massive surgery on him because half his heart died. And if I remember right, it was the back half of his heart completely died. And And the prognosis for him was just like Bud. You know, they're going to try this surgery, but that he probably won't make it through it, and there's no way he's going to live, you know, in this condition. You know, and so and I asked him, I said, hey, can we come down and pray for you? And he's like, absolutely not. And then his wife was adamant. So I called them again, and this was a week leading up to surgery. I called them over and over, can we come down there and pray for you before they do the surgery? No, do not come. And then the day before the surgery, I called the guy one last time, and his wife grabbed the phone, and she's like, we do not want you to come. Our family does not want you anywhere near us. Do not come. And I'm like, I'm coming anyway. Yeah, Marsha said, I'm stubborn. And I'm like, I'm coming anyway. I'm going to go down there anyway. I'm coming. She goes, do whatever it is you're going to do. Fine. You know, so, you know, we get there, and the whole family is in the room. He's laying in the bed. They're going to do the surgery and then just a little bit on him. And they're doing all the prep stuff beforehand. And the whole family's in the room. We walk in, man, and it was, you know, when the atmosphere is real heavy, like they don't want you there. You know, you ever been in a place where you're not wanted? How's that feel? Yeah, don't feel good. It'll play on your insecurities, don't you know it? And so I want to tell you, just because you have insecurities and stuff's playing on your insecurities, you got to remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, okay? And so in your weakness, Jesus is made strong, you know? And so I didn't feel real good going in that room. It was like, you know, you got all these people staring at you, and they're all standing in a circle like this. And they were looking at me like, what are you doing here, you know? And then I said, I'm going to pray for you before you go on surgery. He goes, fine, whatever, do what it is you're going to do, and then please leave. And so I was like, fine. You know, I was like, I was real happy to pray and get it over with. You know what I mean? That's what I was feeling. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm the pastor of the church. It's my duty, so I'm going to do this. And I'll be honest with you. Just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean it ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, and in your weakness he is made strong. So just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean that God ain't going to do something, okay? So you better be obedient, and you better do what you know is the right thing to do, even though they don't want it, and even though you may not necessarily be wanting it, because I wanted to hightail it out of that room. And so went over, laid hands on his chest in the name of Jesus, and then prayed and made a faith declaration over his heart, and said, amen, thank you, bye. Out the door I went. About 1:30 or 2 in the afternoon, you know, and the thing about things is God uses things to accelerate things, okay? And I'm going to tell you about that in a second, okay? So, about 1:30 or 2 in the afternoon, you know, my expectation was they're going to call me and say the guy passed away, or, you know, he barely made it through, and, you know, they give him so many months, or, you know, because half his heart was dead. All of a sudden, the phone rings at the church, in our old church, and the guy goes, Pastor? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I thought you were having surgery. He goes, I don't know how to tell you this, as they were checking things before surgery, my heart was, something was different, and so they did a whatever they do to look at it, and the back half of his heart was completely regenerated, completely alive, completely pumping, and that dude is still alive to this day, and he would be in his 80s now, probably mid to late 80s. He goes, thank you for coming, bye, click. He still left the church, but that's okay, you know. But the thing is God gave him life and abundant life, you know. Where there was a pronouncement of death, Jesus came in and Jesus did what Jesus does. And I want you to understand, it doesn't matter how they feel about you, and it doesn't matter how you feel about them. What matters is who's in you, because it's him who does the work of the ministry. It's him who brings healing, deliverance, and restoration. Okay? So the doctors got this pronunciation on Bud that he's good as dead. We as a church, we can receive that, and we can cater to him until he passes from this life, or we can stand in authority and agree over one of our church family members that, this ain't happening. They're saying 6 months at best. And we can stand in authority. We are put in a really unique situation that we are a church that we believe in a gospel message. We believe in the full power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in healing, deliverance. We believe in breakthroughs. We believe in supernatural creative miracles. We believe that what we read about in the book of Acts take place today. So, I've seen God do this before. And let's go for it again. One more time, God, let's do it again. Okay, you guys ready? You guys ready to do that in a second? And then I'll tell you the rest of the story after we pray. Okay? About what happened in the office about 10 minutes after that phone call. Okay? Cool? Let's pray. Will you all agree with me in prayer?
Yes.
All right. We have gotten this pronouncement of death from the doctors, but we are representatives of light. We are representatives of the life giver. And so let's go before the throne boldly, okay? Will you guys pray with me at the same time?
Yes.
All right. So I want you guys praying loud, and I want you guys to call out from heaven, all right? Call out to heaven, all right? Because our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven there ain't no half-dead hearts. So let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let it be done in Bud's life right now. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
We lift Bud to you right now.
We lift Bud to you right now.
And we thank you.
We thank you.
For life.
For life.
And life abundantly.
Life abundantly.
We renounce.
We renounce.
And we rebuke.
We rebuke.
The spirit of death.
The spirit of death.
That is attacking his life.
That is attacking his life.
It has no authority.
It has no authority.
Over him.
Over him.
We cancel every assignment.
We cancel every assignment.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
That comes from the pit of hell.
That comes from the pit of hell.
Spirit of infirmity.
Spirit of infirmity.
We renounce.
We renounce.
And we rebuke you.
We rebuke you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And we speak to his heart.
Speak to his heart.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
Who lives in us.
Who lives in us.
Heart come alive.
Heart come alive.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Pump like you're supposed to pump.
Pump like you're supposed to pump.
We speak health.
We speak
and life,
and life.
Over, Bud.
Over Bud
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We no longer
receive
the pronouncement of death,
pronouncement of death
over his life.
Over his life.
Because Jesus, you have come,
to give Bud
life.
Life.
And life more abundantly.
Life more abundantly.
And we praise you, God.
We praise you, God.
For the creative miracle.
For the creative miracle.
You are doing in his heart.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
For your glory and for your honor.
For your glory and your honor.
We ask these things.
We ask these things.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
The rest of the story. Just a few minutes after that, and I've shared this with you guys before, just a few minutes after that guy had called me on the phone, this guy who would come into our old church to access the food pantry, he comes hobbling in the church, and he's sad because they said he's going to die. And they said his only chance for living is for open heart surgery. He had diabetes really bad, he had nerve neuropathy. And so he could barely walk, and then his heart was completely destroyed. And they wanted to do a bypass, but they said, there ain't no way you're going to survive the surgery. And if you do, you're not going to have much of a quality of life because of the rest of your health. And this guy was probably in his late 50s, maybe 60 at best. And he starts talking about this, and he's in tears about, you know, the condition of his heart. He goes, there's no hope. And I'm like, well, let me tell you something that I just got off the phone with and what went down this morning. I said, God did that for him. And I said, good news for you today is God's healing hearts. He did it once this morning, so we're going to go for it again. So we laid hands on him, prayed for him, and we just declared healing and life over him. And then he hobbled back out the office, not any physical change or anything. He goes, thank you for praying. You know, so basically what he did was receive the priestly blessing. He came in there, we prayed for him, and he was just like, that was a nice thing you do. I call that a priestly blessing, meaning bless you. You ever hear people say, oh, bless you, and they're just, you know, you might as well say, hey, good luck at life. You know what I mean? It was a priestly blessing. You understand what I mean? And so he hobbles out the church and didn't see him again. So we assumed he died. And I don't remember what it was. About a month and a half later, this young-looking guy comes walking up into the church. And he goes, you remember me? I'm like, yeah, you look familiar. He's like, I was dying and you guys prayed for me. And he goes, God completely healed my heart. But not only did he heal my heart, he healed my diabetes. He healed my nerve neuropathy. And he goes, I'm no longer on disability. And I've got a job coming up that I'm going to start working again. God is in the healing business. We read about in Acts chapter 3 last week, if you remember our story about the crippled beggar who was sent outside the gate since, you know, all of his life. And the disciples or the apostles come walking by, and he's begging for money. And they said, silver and gold we have none, but what we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And if you remember the story, he didn't just jump up. They grabbed him by the hand, and they did that prophetic act, and they lifted him up, made him stand up. And as soon as they lifted him up, he was made whole. God is in the healing business. And I want you guys to understand, you know, there's out in the world today, a lot of churches are saying, you don't need signs, wonders, and miracles. And they're equating signs, wonders, and miracles to the works of the devil. And I want you guys to understand, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is blasphemous of the Holy Spirit and His work and His ministry. See, the thing is churches nowadays are saying, you don't need signs, wonders, and miracles. People are going to be led astray by signs, wonders, and miracles. Yeah, that's in Revelation. It's talking about the world when the Antichrist comes. But the thing is we as a church have an obligation to demonstrate what is normal Christianity, which is the power of God. The Antichrist comes. When he comes, he's operating under a counterfeit power. The church of Jesus Christ has the real power, the real authority, and he lives inside of us, and his name is Holy Spirit. And so they're saying, you don't need signs, wonders, and miracles anymore. All the world needs is a presentation of the gospel. All they need is just the words of the Bible. And I got news for you. You can't separate one from the other. You need both. Because signs, wonders, and miracles are the work in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which draws people to you to be able for them to hear the message of God. Without demonstration of Holy Spirit's power, most people aren't going to be interested in what you have to say. Have you ever went up to somebody and just tried to talk to them about the Bible? They don't receive it. Holy Spirit partners with the written word, and He brings the written word to life. You need both. Bible knowledge, you want Bible knowledge. You want to be an authority on the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. But you also need to be seeking Holy Spirit through intimacy. You need to be cultivating that intimacy with the Father. And you need to be saying, more of you, God, more of you. Fill me up, Holy Spirit, more of you. Because when the two function in tandem, that's when you see the dunamis power, the explosive power of the Holy Spirit released, and that's when you see communities changed. That's when you see the world changed. There was a time when the Apostle Paul reverted to his old ways on Mars Hill. And he went up there and he, and you remember the Apostle Paul, we're here because he wrote most of the New Testament. We're here because of his ministry. But the thing is he reverted to his old ways, going back to just written only and not demonstration of Holy Spirit power. He went up on Mars Hill and he got into dialogue with the philosophers, and he started to reason with them about God. Now, And then after he did that, it said a few gave their lives to God. That's cool. A few gave their lives to God, isn't it? Isn't that cool? But it wasn't as effective as it could have been because he didn't operate in Holy Spirit's power. And then after that effect, he wrote, when he started going around in ministry again, he goes, I do not come at you any with wise and persuasive words, but I come at you with demonstration of Holy Spirit's power and kingdom preaching. And so what I want to show you today is this. Well, I might. Age is a beautiful thing, isn't it? All right, there it is. All right, Peter and John. Okay, you ready? Peter and John demonstrate this through this thing. They're going about their everyday life, and the beggar wants money. And he did give them wise and persuasive words. They just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And then they did the prophetic act and lifted him up, and he stood up, okay? So they operated first in demonstration of Holy Spirit's power. They met the guy's ultimate need, which was healing, which was breakthrough from being crippled. And then they went with kingdom preaching. And that's what we're going to pick up today. You guys good with that? So I want you to understand, you need both. You need the written word of God, and you need partnership with the Holy Spirit living in you. Not so that you can have wise and persuasive words, not so that you can debate somebody into the kingdom of God, but so that they can see the full glory and the power of God on display, and they will be drawn to Him for the majesty and the beauty of who He is, and for how holy He is, and how awesome He is, and how He is real. You know, I've recently, I've heard people say that this is a fairy tale. That's what people believe because they don't see what we see in the Bible. And it's our responsibility to demonstrate to them the kingdom of God through kingdom preaching, but also through demonstration of Holy Spirit's power through signs, wonders, and miracles. When they encounter the supernatural, they understand that, yes, Jesus is real, and it takes down every theological argument. I have seen people that say, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in that. And then just a little bit later, after demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power, dear Jesus, come into my life, fill me up, forgive me of my sins. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. It's not wise and persuasive words. It's not arguing people into the kingdom. It's showing them what Jesus was all about. Jesus said, these works I do, you will do these and even greater. We've got to be about doing the works of the Holy Spirit. We've got to let Holy Spirit manifest Himself in our life and also through our life out into the circumstances around us. But I caution you, don't get a big head and think you're all that, because you ain't. It's Holy Spirit doing the work through you. But you got to release Him. You got to be willing to partner with Him in the ministry. And that's a cool thing about God. He partners with us in the work of the ministry. You guys ready? Verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished. After a miracle takes place, people gather around. Do you guys know that? All the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. Now, just a month or two ago, they crucified Jesus and nobody would hear this message. But now people are running to them to see what is going on. When God shows up in power, when God shows up with demonstration of signs, wonders, and miracles, people come running. And they will come from afar to see what God is doing. Because people are hungry for something real. They are hungry to know that God does care, that God is among you. They people are hungry for that. And so the people come running. When Peter saw this, he said to them, and now he goes into kingdom preaching. He's going to give the gospel story, okay? He says, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power and godliness we made this man walk? Basically, Peter's saying, we ain't all that. They're staying true. They recognize that it ain't them. It's God working through them. And so always remember that. You guys hear me on this. I need you to hear this because God's going to do supernatural things to you, through you. I need you to hear me on this. It's God working through you. You're partnering with Him, but it's not you. If God does not show up, it ain't going to happen. You know, one of my favorite preachers says this. He goes, you need to walk in relationship with God. Because the thing is people are going to come to you wanting a touch from God. But if they meet you, they're not going to be impressed. You guys hear me on that? So it ain't you. And Peter and John are making that statement. It ain't us. We're not that great. We need Jesus just as much as you do. And I want you guys to realize that. It doesn't matter what level of ministry that somebody is in. Every pastor, every minister, everyone that you think is great, everybody that you think is amazing, needs Jesus just as much as you do for the very same reasons that you do. Okay? So, verse 13. He goes on to say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. You handed Him over to be killed, and you disowned Him before Pilate. Though he had decided to let Him go, you disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all see. So they're pointing, so the signs, wonders, and miracles are now appointing this crowd that came running to see what on earth supernatural just took place. Now it's they're giving the kingdom preaching where they're pointing it all back to Jesus. So signs, wonders, and miracles, if you don't get a big head, will always point people back to Jesus. It's always got to be about Jesus. It's always got to point people back to Jesus, or there's no point in it. Okay? And that's what Holy Spirit is supposed to do. He draws people to Jesus. And the way He does that is by living through you. And by being released through you, by you guys taking supernatural chances and praying for the sick and believing and expecting them to recover. Amen? Verse 17. Now he kind of lets them off the hook a little bit. Because they're hearing about Jesus, the one that they just killed just a month or so ago. Okay? He goes, now brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what He had foretold through the prophets, saying that His Christ would suffer. So, now, not only have they seen the goodness of God, they've heard about why this has transpired. Now comes the repentance part. Signs, wonders, and miracles, partnering with Holy Spirit, will draw men to Jesus. And then when people are drawn to Jesus, there needs to be a repentance that takes place. That means you recognize your need for Jesus. And you say, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to be different. I want to be changed. So, Peter and John urged them. In verse 19, he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Verse 20, and that He may send a Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as He promised long ago through His holy prophets. Verse 22, for Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything He tells you. Anyone who does not listen to Him will be completely cut off from among His people. Who's he talking about? Jesus. If people don't believe in Jesus, they will be cut off. There is only one way to heaven. And ask faith in Jesus Christ and repentance of your sins and letting God do a regeneration work in your life and turning you around, meaning you are changed and you are different. You guys understand that? We all done bad stuff. I done my share of bad stuff. Now I still have my oops moments. Do you guys? But it doesn't mean that needs to be our lifestyle. We need to be becoming more and more like Jesus every day. At the end of each year, we should see progress in our walk with God. If not, we're stagnant. And if we're stagnant, we're going backwards. It needs to be a progressive sanctification. Verse 24. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophet and of the covenant of God made with your forefathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Chapter 4. Are you ready? This is what I want to stress to you. Remember what I told you at the beginning when I was telling you about that testimony? Just because you have a relationship with God, just because God moves in your life and through your life and through each of your individual ministries, doesn't mean people are going to like you. Doesn't mean people are going to receive you. Doesn't mean people are going to receive the good news of the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean they're going to receive that. Sometimes your gospel is going to tick them off. Sometimes they're going to make fun of you. Sometimes they're going to call you names. Sometimes they're going to accuse you of being false teachers, of false prophets. And you know what? Keep on doing it. Keep on teaching the Word of God. Keep on letting Holy Spirit work through you. Because the thing is Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Remember that? Let your light shine. And letting your light shine is not just through talking. It's also through partnering with Holy Spirit for demonstration of Holy Spirit's power. You've got to have both. So not everybody's going to like you. Are you ready for a little persecution? You ever been persecuted? The whole Facebook thing takes persecution to a whole new level, doesn't it? People are going to come after you. The more you go after God, the more people are going to come after you. Can I tell you this? I'm going to say this about you. I hope you get so full of the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit's power. And I hope in each of your lives that your lives and your ministry will be so full of God, so full of the knowledge of His Word, so full of Holy Spirit's power through demonstrations of signs, wonders, and miracles and kingdom preaching. And you guys have so much fruit of the kingdom of God coming out of you that people are dropping to their knees right and left out on the streets and getting saved. And I hope that you will experience persecution for this, because that means you're effective for the kingdom of God. Because the more effective you are for the kingdom of God, the more lives you change, the more people are going to hate you. What do you think of that? That's a tough road to hold, isn't it? Walking with Jesus is not a cakewalk. It's not easy. It takes a determination every day. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, no matter what. I'm going to walk in obedience to you no matter what. No matter what I feel. No matter what's going on in my mind. No matter what I feel like physically today, I will follow you. And I will look for opportunities for demonstration of Holy Spirit's power. And if I'm not feeling like it, in my weakness, Jesus, you are made strong. If the world is raging against me and coming against me and saying all sorts of things about me that aren't true, if the world is calling me names, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Where did the accusations come? The father of lies, Satan himself. He's known as the accuser of the brethren. And so you could be sure of this, the greater the anointing on your life, the greater the accusation will be against each and every one of you. You will face persecution. Go after Jesus, amen? More of him. But understand, more of him means more of accusation. You're going to be misunderstood. But you're in good club because so is Jesus. Remember, the world hated him. You remember that? Didn't Jesus also say, in this world you will have trouble? He didn't say, you're going to give your life to me and it's going to be all rosy and it's all going to be peaceful. You're going to go to church, sing a few songs, everybody's going to love you. It's going to be awesome. You don't walk around and you're going to say, bless you, brother and sister, and they're like, bless you too. May you have a good week. No, it ain't going to be like that. It's hard because you've got opposition. His name is Satan, and he's going to try to get you down. He's going to try to keep you from fulfilling the purpose and the potential that you have for your life. You don't know where you're going to end up because of your faith. You don't know where you're going to end up because of signs, wonders, and miracles because you have partnered with the Holy Spirit's power. You don't know where you're going to end up. But I can tell you this, you better draw near to Jesus because you're going to need him. Our two guys, Peter and John, I want you guys to understand, they are very real guys just like you. Remember what I told you a couple months ago? You watched Deadliest Catch? You ever see Deadliest Catch? What were Peter and John? Fishermen. What are fishermen like? Rough, tough, crude, strong. They're basically seamen. Right? They would talk like a sailor. Right? But then they encountered Jesus. And so I want you to picture those guys from that you see on TV with Deadliest Catch. And if you haven't seen Deadliest Catch, just YouTube Deadliest Catch and you'll get an idea of what fishermen are really like. And so I want you to understand that these are normal people. Peter and John are normal people. God works through normal people like you and I. Peter and John went through the same issues that you and I go through. And God worked through them mightily. When we think about the original church fathers, Peter, James, John, and all the disciples, we get this idea of they were saints and they were holy and they were just mighty men of God. No, they were real people. They went through the ups and downs of life. They made stupid mistakes. You remember, what was it, Paul and Barnabas? Remember them? They were a ministry team. What happened to them? The apostle Paul and Barnabas, you remember? They got in a fight. They got in a huge fight, a loud quarrel. And it was over this other guy named John Mark, who later on would happen to be somebody pretty important in the Bible. Look him up. I know who he is, but I ain't telling you. He became somebody pretty important in the Bible. In fact, I think there's a book about him. I think he might have wrote it. Just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean stuff isn't going to happen. Doesn't mean you're going to get in a loud quarrel and go your separate ways either. You guys understand what I mean? So here's the deal. Keep going after Jesus because these people are just like you, but not everybody's going to like you. Now we're going to talk about Peter and John for a second. Chapter 4, verse 1. So they're sharing all this to the crowd. It says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees. Now the Sadducees, there were two religious leaders, or two religious groups, and they had two different theologies. There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay? The Pharisees believed there was eternal life. There was life after death. The Sadducees believed there was no life after death. Now they were all followers of God. But one believed there was life after death and the other did not. Okay? So pop quiz. Who believed in life after death? Pharisees. Who believed there was no life after death? Sadducees. Okay, so this is stupid. Somebody told me this years ago, so I'm going to tell you something stupid. And I don't normally tell you stupid things. But can I tell you something stupid? Can I have your permission to be dumb for a minute? Okay, the way to remember that, okay, the Pharisees believed in life after death. The Sadducees did not. Somebody told me this, and it's really stupid. It's a play on words. But it says the Sadducees did not believe in life after death. And that's why they're sad, you see. You understand what I mean? So whenever you see Sadducees, sad you see. Because there ain't no life. You understand what I mean? So they had no hope. Once you die, you're good and doggone and everything else. And Jesus even spoke opposite of that. Jesus said there's life after death. And he just talked about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, right? Remember that? So, all right. So, the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Here's the thing. When you partner with Holy Spirit and you start teaching about the kingdom of God, religious people are going to get really ticked off at you. Because it just upsets their apple cart. Because it means you're doing something with the word of God and they're not. See, too many people are just sitting here soaking and receiving and receiving and receiving, and there's no action. There's no foot put to the gospel message. They're just like, I got saved, I got born again, I'm going to heaven, thank God, and that's all I need. Bull. You were created with a purpose. You were created to be part of the gospel story. The gospel story is still being written. History is not done. You have a purpose, and your purpose is to bring glory and an honor to Jesus by partnering with Holy Spirit and releasing Holy Spirit out into everywhere you come in contact with. So religious people, as it states in verse 2, are going to be greatly disturbed because of your teaching and because of the demonstration of Holy Spirit's power. They were greatly disturbed because apostles were teaching and teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Verse 3, sometimes you're going to get a free hotel room when you serve God. You guys cool with that? You ready? They seized Peter and John because it was evening, and they put them in jail till the next day. You never know when you're going to spend the night in jail, do you? You get a meal, watch a little TV, shoot some pool. No, it wasn't like that back then. It was basically a dungeon. They were in shackles and chains, and it was a very horrific experience for them. And so you will encounter persecution. Religious people are going to get mad, and most of your persecution is going to come from the church. I want you guys to realize that. You guys realize that? Most of your persecution is going to come from the church. And then everybody else will pile on. But it usually starts with religious people. Okay? No exception in what we read in the Bible. So they put them in jail till the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So I want you guys to understand, just because you're going through crap in your life, because of your relationship with Jesus, your life testimony and what you declare out of your mouth and what you allow Holy Spirit to do through you with signs, wonders, and miracles, people are going to be drawn to God no matter what type of crap you go through. When you find yourself locked in the dungeon because of no fault of your own. Right? Now, if you're living a hellacious life and you end up going to jail for it, you reap what you sow. We all do that. We reap the consequences of our actions. But you may end up in jail. I hope it's for the gospel, not for something else. We've all been there, done that, haven't we? We've all got a legal past. Almost everybody in here has dealt with legal issues. All right, maybe not Marsha and my mom, but maybe the rest of you. Yeah, we've all dealt with legal issues. Yeah, she's never dealt with legal issue. Marsha never has, that I know of. Caleb's got you guys covered, you know. I have done some very illegal stuff in my day. Fishing without a license, attempting to bribe a cop one time.
With tomatoes.
Yeah, with produce. Did you know, I did not know that when a cop is trying to bust you and you try to bribe him with produce instead of money, it's a very serious thing. I sure didn't, but I learned real quick. So we all got our past, don't we? We all need Jesus just the same. But I hope from this day forward, when you get thrown in jail, it's because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? All right? Cool? Actually, jail would be kind of a... No, I better quit thinking about that. I'd take a week off, you know? All right, I'm in trouble now. I just got the look. Oh, good Lord. I am in deep trouble. Verse 4, I'm not looking up either. But many who heard the message believed, and a number of men grew to about 5,000. That ain't bad, is it? That ain't a bad altar call, is it? 5,000 get saved in one day? Yeah. We'll take that, won't we? Demonstration of Holy Spirit's power, kingdom preaching, religious people get ticked off, 5,000 give their lives to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That is the power of God. That is what God does when you walk in obedience to Him. And Peter and John are not these great saints. They're just regular guys, fishermen, basically uneducated. The only thing education they had was just hanging out with Jesus. They weren't schooled in the schools of their day. They just hung out with Jesus. And guess what? You too can hang out with Jesus. What they did, you can do. The same Holy Spirit is alive and active today. God has not changed. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that what He did then is still for today. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are very much alive and available to you. You can be men and women of God that can rise up and shake the nations. Should Jesus tarry and not come back in our lifetime, you guys, in just the small group that you are, have the ability to affect the nation. Not just this little neighborhood, the nation. Because the different people that you touch, the different lives that you touch, will be changed because of who's in you. If you will release Holy Spirit out of you on a daily basis. If you will look for opportunities to minister to people, even when you don't feel like it. Remember we talked about that last week with the crippled beggar. We pass people all the time. And as you guys know, as a church, silver and gold we have none. But we do got something in this Holy Spirit. And so let's start releasing it out to these people. We got people that stand on street corners all the time begging for money. We'll work for food. You guys see those signs? We ain't got a dollar to give them. But we do got something we can give them. We need to notice the different people that come across our paths. And we need to understand that we have something inside of us that can change them, that can shape their future, that can change their destiny. And that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it comes through demonstrations of Holy Spirit power and kingdom preaching. Y'all got it in you, so use it. Amen? I love you guys, and we'll see you next week and continue on. Let's pray. Natalie, would you come? We're going to sing just the last couple songs, and then we're going to dismiss. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you and I ask God for your anointing to rest on every person in this room. I ask God that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. I ask God that you move in power in their lives and draw them to you. And I ask God that you protect them from pride. I ask God that they will remember that it's not them, but it's Holy Spirit doing the work. And so use their lives to point people to Jesus. I ask God that when they lay hands on the sick will recover. I ask God that there will be an increase of signs, wonders, and miracles to accompany the work of their ministry. Bless them in Jesus' name. Challenge them, God, to use their gifts for your glory and for your honor. And I ask God that we see a harvest like we read about in the book of Acts, where about 5,000 were added to their number daily. Lord, do that again in this community. Send a revival. We welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We want more of you. Jesus, you are so worthy. And we just take this opportunity to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.